إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him and we bear witness that there is no deity but Him and that Prophet Muhammad, Jesus, Moses, Adam, Jacob, Noah, and all these Joshua and all these prophets are His messengers who came down to teach humanity righteousness and to teach them kindness and to teach them to worship the one God, the God that doesn't change from one form to another, the God that was one God in heaven before Jesus was born and still one God in heaven after Jesus was born. We bear witness that the God that was worshipped by Abraham and by Moses and by Jacob, that had no idea who was Jesus, that had no knowledge of Jesus, that didn't believe in the crucifixion of Jesus, and whether He was crucified or resurrected or not, because they came before Him. We bear witness that this God that was worshipped by Abraham, Jacob, Noah, and all these prophets who came before Jesus, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true God, that doesn't change with time or place, the God Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. We still talking about the same subject. This is the ninth khutbah in the same subject. What did the world lose due to the fall of Muslim Ummah? And last time we were talking about the symptom of, or the alarm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created to warn us against the loss of righteousness. And this alarm is called the gap between the rich and the poor. This alarm is meant, this gap is meant to be an alarming thing to warn us that we are losing righteousness. We are quitting the ideology of righteousness and embracing the ideology of selfishness, the ideology of exploitation, and the ideology of imperialism. And indeed, this gap is meant to warn us against that. And when we look into this gap, we found that Dr. Zygmunt Brzezinski, our reference, the guy that we're using his book to quote numerical facts about this, he did not recognize it in such a way, but he called it a different name. He called it the giant of global inequality. That is a section in his book called the giant of global inequality, where he speaks about this gap in such a very alarming way. Even though he's not a believer of Islam, but he, as a human being who has conscience inside him, is something is ringing and telling him that this is wrong, this is not right. It is not right to live in a world where there is such a huge gap between the poor and the rich. According to the statistics, we have a huge gap between the poor and rich in the same exact country and between the average of one nation versus the average of another nation. The United Nations report said in the 1990 the ratio was 1 to 150, and that's in the 1990s. Now you imagine 16 years later, which is today, this ratio, if you go to the statistics, you find that this ratio went up to 1 to 400. That's the average, the difference of the average between poor nations and rich nations. And now, why is that? It is because the world is being led by nations that don't believe into the ideology of righteousness, but they believe into the ideology of greed, exploitation, and imperialism. They believe into the ideology of providing to themselves, and providing to themselves only, and bringing happiness to themselves, selfishness and greed. And capitalism is nothing but is another name of that ideology of greed. It's just a beautiful name that covers behind ugly names such as the ideology of selfishness, the ideology of greed, the ideology of exploitation, and the ideology of imperialism. And indeed, this is what we expect. This is the result that we should expect coming out of such an ideology. When we look at the people, the very few people that are benefiting from this ideology, the few people that are sometimes called the children of the monster, who are happy about the dead, the big monster, going out of the jungle, hunting to them, bringing them food from the flesh of other animals in the jungle. when we talk about to them and say, well, there's something alarming here, doesn't that alarm you that something is wrong? Then we make three ridiculous justifications to justify what this gap. The first justification is saying, well, you guys are idealistic and we are realistic. You guys talking about idealism. You guys live in la-la land, but we live in the land of reality. The reality, as hard as it is nothing but selfishness and greed of individuals. It is nothing but a political struggle over wealth and power. And that's the reality. You want to live in your la-la land and talk about righteousness? Feel free to do so. But we live in the land of reality, and this is how are we going to live, and this is how the ideology that we're going to adopt. And indeed, presenting it in such a way, in such a deceiving way, they are presenting it as a struggle between idealism and realism. That we are being idealistic who live in la-la land, and they are being realistic who live in the land of reality. And indeed, it's not this way. It is a struggle between righteousness and greed. It is a struggle. Allah subhanahu, the ideology of righteousness, there are two ways to deal with the temptation of selfishness and greed. Both ideologies, the ideology of righteousness and the ideology of greed, imperialism and exploitation, admit that there is something called temptation of selfishness and greed that is built up in intrinsic inside every human being. But the way both ideologies deal with this temptation makes the difference. The ideology of righteousness deals with the temptation of greed as one of the temptations that Allah put inside us to test us, to show the truth about us, to show what we were, to show who we are. And it deals with it as a temptation that needs to be disciplined, as a temptation that needs to be put under control, as a temptation that needs to be given only its fair share and no more than its fair share. That's how the ideology of righteousness deals with the temptation of selfishness and greed. On the other hand, the ideology of greed deals with one. The reason it's called the ideology of greed, because it worships the temptation of greed, of course. It deals with it as a god, as a friend. This temptation of greed is not a friend. It is an enemy that is testing us. It's an enemy that wants us to drag us down, and it will never be satisfied. It's an hungry enemy that the more you give it, the more it gets hungry. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Hadith al-Qudsi, I give the child of Adam one valley full of gold, he wants two valleys full of gold. I give him two, he wants four. I give him four, he wants eight. And nothing will fill the eye of the child of Adam except dirt. And if you notice, when the individual dies and gets buried in the grave, the first thing that leaks out of the body is the eye, and leaves a gap. And dirt replaces the eye, and this is the one that fills really the eye of the individual. Because in this particular moment, he, the Ushi, is going to realize the truth, which is nothing but this whole materialism that was inspired by the ideology of greed is nothing but an illusion. Nothing but a temporary illusion, a test. And this test now has gone away. Because this money, this wealth, doesn't bring us now the everlasting happy life, which is going to be after the grave. It's useless, cannot be used to buy a place in Jannah. At that point, when the dirt fills the eye of the child of Adam, he or she will realize that he was running after illusion, and he was displeasing Allah, and going after against righteousness for the sake of fulfilling nothing but illusion. And this is how the ideology of righteousness deals with the temptation of selfishness and greed. On the other hand, the ideology of greed deals with greed as a friend, as an advisor. Every time both conscience and greed fight together inside the follower of the ideology of greed, that follower is going to ridicule the conscience and say to the conscience, you dumb conscience, you stupid conscience, stop talking. I'm not listening to you. You want me to lose what I have? You want me to give away the comforts and the luxury that I have? No way, I'm not listening to you. And then the same person turns his face or her face to the temptation of greed and says, you are my friend. You want me to have everything. Yes, I love you because you want my best. You want me to keep, to get as much as I can. You want me to have and achieve as much as I can. I'm going to listen to you. So that person ridicules the conscience and follows the temptation of greed. And this is what it is. It's a confrontation. It's a struggle between righteousness and greed. It's not a struggle between idealism and realism, the way we like to deceive others by presenting it or by putting it. And the second, silly, ridiculous excuse that they use to, you know, to cover up the ugly greed, the ugly monster of greed that never gets satisfied, is that by saying, well, those people are just jealous from us. They dislike us because they are jealous, because they want to have what we have. And indeed, it's not about jealousy. It's not about jealousy. It's about our wickedness. It's about our imperialism. It's about us blocking their way to progress. Every nation has intelligentsia. Every nation has brains and muscles. Every nation, if left alone, the people will be able to bring a government that rules them to their best interest. The people will be able to come up with technology and advance their lives. But we don't leave them alone. Because of our selfishness and greed and imperialistic ambitions, we impose on them a government that rules them to our best interest, not to their best interest, because we are the one who support the government. And then we are blocking their way. We are holding them back. We are not letting them live by their own rules in their own house. We are not allowing them to progress and breathe. And then we come and say, why do they hate us? Why do they hate us? Reminds me of the person who has two hands. With one hand, he's chalking his friend. And with the other hand, he's telling him, why do you hate me? Well, I hate you because you're chalking me. Just get your hands off my neck so that I can breathe, and then I'm going to stop hating you. It's not about this hate is not because of jealousy. This hate that is generated, it's because of anger. It's because those people are angry. And indeed, if every nation has an intelligentsia, this intelligentsia always tries to reform that nation. If I target the intelligentsia in any nation, just like Hitler did with Poland. Hitler picked among the Polish. He did not kill anybody. He picked the intelligentsia of the Polish people, in particular, one by one, and he killed them. Why? Because if you kill the intelligentsia of any nation, the rest of the people become like a cattle. Like you can drag them. One cowboy can drag them all just like a cattle. And this is exactly what is happening. And the weak nations, strong nations appoint a dictator that kills the intelligentsia, not physically killing them, but putting the intelligentsia, reforming intelligentsia behind the bars. Prosecute, either buying the intelligentsia to stand behind him and support him, or the intelligentsia that refuses to be for sale gets thrown behind the bars or killed. And then, who's left? The public, the common people who are going to be led not just like a cattle. And this is why we see one big nation that has 100 million individuals or 150 million individuals is being led by single person decision. A decision, very crucial decision, very important decision is made by one single person. And the rest of the nation is following just like a cattle. They don't have the choice to participate. They don't have the choice to even say no. And this is exactly what we're doing. And then we come and say, we justify to ourselves and say, oh, the third silly, ridiculous justification is by saying, oh, it's because of our hard work, it's because of our intelligence. And indeed, if it's a free market, if everybody's free, then we will have a very tough competition. But we play wicked, dirty games so that we can maintain the monopoly. And then we turn around and say, it's because of our hard work, those people are jealous, those people have an ideology of hate, and blah, blah, blah. It's a struggle between realism and whatever they call it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفر. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده